afternoon and welcome to Garden Planet. You're with Karen and Selena.
Good afternoon, gardeners.
We hope you're all keeping well out there.
Yes.
How have you been, Selena? Have you had a good week?
Well, it's been really busy and a bit frantic.
Yeah. But, oh, that's good. Keeping you out of trouble.
Yes.
Yeah. And you seem well. You're not coughing or anything.
No.
Got no winter chills, no viruses.
No.
So we're doing well, guys. Hope you're hanging in there. So today, to keep your mind on other things other than the virus, we're going to be talking about vines.
Vines.
Because we mentioned this in a show a few back, didn't we? A few shows back, we were...
Yes, we said we must do a show.
We were on a tangent.
Yeah.
And I said, no, we'll save that for another day. And this is the day, my friends. So, let's start. What is a vine? The Latin term venia, or word, I should say, mm-hmm. means grapevine. And that, that's where vine came from.
Right.
Venia. So it is any plant with a growth habit that has climbing and or trailing stems or runners. That's your definition of a vine. I think we all, even the non-gardeners, would pretty much, be on the same page there.
Yep.
Most vines are flowering plants and can be divided into woody vines or herbaceous vines. Herbaceous meaning leafy, greeny, not woody. Okay. We all good? We're all on the same? Anything to add there yet, Selena?
Well, in my research, in some other kind of books talking about vines, or they call them climbers, they divide them into deciduous and evergreen. So that's another category.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
And there are some plants that don't actually start off growing as like climbers or vines. Some of them, for instance, poison ivy, will start growing as a low sort of shrub, and then until it finds its structure that it's going to cling on to, then it turns into an official, vine.
Okay.
So that was interesting. I'm going to get a bit technical here, so hashtag technical alert coming up.
Scientist in you coming out.
Watch out.
Watch out, botanists.
Okay, so vines are unique. Okay, this is where the uniqueness comes in, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And that they have multiple evolutionary origins and a wide range of phenotypic plasticity.
Can you
break that down? Yeah, I had to Google that. But I kind of had an idea. But so phenotypic means observable characteristics. This is coming back to fourth form biology here. Observable, so basically what you see.
Okay.
Of how something molds. So plasticity is. So basically they can, that's the whole twisting movement, basically, that they're able to twist around things. Like most plants, if you look, they sort of grow in a steady direction, and sometimes they might turn a little bit towards the sun, like, or you'll see like tree branches sort of veering off one way, but they are sort of set in that rigid structure, whereas vines have this ability to mold onto things.
Okay, that's quite amazing, because have you ever seen David Attenborough's Private Life of Plants documentary?
No, but it sounds like a must-see.
Oh, you must, because they do time-lapse photography of the plants growing.
Oh, awesome.
And they, when they take photos or have footage of plants that vine or twist and turn, you can see them sort of moving and like, kind of like snakes.
It is. It's weird. It's when I started like amazing. Sort of delving into it, I was quite fascinated. This is where my last sort of fact and my, goodness me, I need to get a life. I've got so many notes here. But I'm so interested. It's really interesting that vines are sensitive. They're sensitive to touch.
Yes.
I guess that puts them in, I think all plants know when they're being touched.
Yeah.
I I think they do.
All these pores and things like stem
marsh. But this particular plant will react in a certain way in order to, come up with a response to its that environment. So some vines, like if they're being eaten by animals,
mm-hmm.
they'll then suddenly, I'm going to start creeping this way now.
Ah.
And, you know, they have that ability to know how to survive, which is not a total mind blower. But the tendrilled vines, I'll get into the difference between a twining vine mm-hmm. and a tendrilled vine in a minute. But this is just kind of to do with the plasticity thing.
Okay.
So they're particularly sensitive to touch, and the coiling action is thought to be mediated by certain hormones. So you touch it, mm-hmm. sets off a chemical reaction.
Ah, I see.
And the part of the tendril in contact with the object does not grow because of this hormone as rapidly as part of the tendril away from the object, thus causing the tendril to circle around the object, and then that's how they cling.
Okay.
So it goes, I've found something to cling on to.
Yeah.
Therefore, I'm going to release this hormone, and that will
to
cause me
this
to...
way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's the science, behind it, guys.
My brain has just expanded.
Yeah, as your and has it... plastically?
Plastically, yeah.
So that's cool. So... yeah. So why do you think, Selena, and the teacher's coming out of me now, why do you think it is that vines have long stems, more so than other plants? There's four reasons. Oh. Can you give me four?
Well, not off the top of my head, Karen. I'd say they were looking for the light, and...
that's definitely got something. Yep.
Yeah.
That's... by using supports rather than investing their energy in their own supportive tissue, because a vine won't stand up by itself,
no.
It needs support.
No.
It can reach the sunlight with a minimum investment of energy.
Okay.
And again, the light thing, by growing over and above neighbouring plants, it's prevented from itself from being in the shade, and also... again, keeps itself free of any herbivores.
Hmm. Okay.
So that's another reason that they are the way they are. It also enables them to colonise areas very quickly, as we have seen. Very. Look at this picture I've got.
Oh.
That's just an old area of some city with a big, what do they call those steeple things?
Obelisk?
Obelisk or a silo or something.
And it's completely covered.
Completely covered in vines. And you'll notice if anything's going to, like...
what vine is
become apocalyptic.
Wow.
Well, I shouldn't say that word at the moment.
No.
But what's the first plant that takes over? Usually?
Usually.
Well, it's usually like that on the movies.
It will be like the plant that creeps everywhere.
Yeah, the creepers.
The ivy or the, the Molenbeekias of this world.
So, that's reason number four. It's an adaptation to life in areas where there are small patches of fertile soil. Because you look at that picture and the whole vine's covering
it's completely covered.
So they can attach to small patches of fertile soil... and then adjacent to exposed areas where they need the sun.
Mm.
So the vine roots in the soil, they'll put down, but then it'll have most of its leaves in a completely other, different area.
Well, when you're in the forest, there's all these trees, right? And in New Zealand, there are some vines, not as many as, say, in the jungle.
Mm.
But all those plants are sort of competing for the sunlight.
Mm.
And... not everyone can be a tree. So why not adapt yourself to,
Yeah, well, climbing vines that dwell in the forest do tend to grow on forest floors and then up trees.
Yeah.
I've found some really interesting vines out there too. Have you heard of the climbing feta bush? Have you heard of that
one?
No.
Climbing feta?
Mm. Feta bush.
No.
It's a woody vine, And what it does is it doesn't have so clinging roots or tendrils or anything like that. It directs its stem into a crevice in the bark of a fibrous barked tree, mm-hmm. where that's, and then the stem goes of the vine goes kind of flattened.
Yeah.
And then it grows up underneath the host tree's bark and then up out the top to where it can get the sun.
Yes.
So it just sort of pops up.
Wow.
Yeah. There's all sorts of interesting plants. That's one.
I mean, the common ones that we grow are in the veggie garden are peas and beans. And
your, how do you say it,
cucumbers? Cucupids.
Cucupid family ones.
Yes.
They're a type of vine as well.
Yeah.
They're what we call a tendrilled vine.
It's just fascinating watching them grow.
I know.
Because they'll reach out their little tendrils.
Yeah.
The way that they twine around everything. And you've got to watch them because they need something to grow on.
Yeah.
Otherwise they'll just grow.
But then I'm watching my rogue pumpkin plant at the moment.
Mm.
That's sort of, you know, you always have that last pumpkin or cucumber of the season that's just still of the summer season that's still, you know, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
There's still enough light and warmth. I can do it. Well, I'm watching my pumpkin and I'm like, oh, I'm not even going to bother like attaching it to anything or creating like a trellis or it can't be bothered. It's sort of the end of the season. And it's just kind of going all the way across my lawn. It's made it halfway across my lawn now. I've just been watching it.
Yeah.
I'll have to appear. I'll probably take it out soon with the weed eater. Oh, was there a pumpkin there? Yeah. But, it's quite interesting how much ground they gain.
Yes.
And I haven't even done anything. I'm just watching it.
You need a good ground cover. Well, you can always grow a vine.
Yes.
So, especially on a slope and it's hard to establish plants, so they can be quite useful in that way.
Yeah, and also they're very useful in keeping that moisture in the soil, almost like a growing mulch.
Yes.
Yeah, so the whole interplanting thing with vines, I'm a big fan of. And we talked about that time, you know, where they had the corn, beans and the
three sisters.
Yeah.
So the corn, the beans and the...
What was the other one?
They called it squash.
Ah,
we
squash,
call it pumpkin. Native American Indians were growing it that way to make best use of the space. So the corn, of course, grows really tall, and the beans can climb around the corn, and the squash or the pumpkins can grow along the ground and cover the ground.
And as a ground cover, and also because I find, the cucumber, they're kind of spiky. Got little spikes on them.
Like prickly.
So it almost gave that little protection there as well for animals that, don't want to lie on
it's
that.
Rough the, if you touch it, it kind of feels a bit.
Yeah. And then you've got your twining vines. This was an interesting one I got a bit of a buzz over. They're also known as bines. I didn't know that.
Bines?
That's what Wikipedia said.
Oh.
Bines. Some people call them twine. Anyway, a twining vine is the ones that you see that grow in helixes.
Okay, like...
beans are...
Yeah, beans.
A fine example of that. What's another...
Morning glory. Is that...
Yeah.
Would you say that was one? Jasmine.
Most of the vines I have are tendril, though. Jasmine. Yeah, that curls, yes.
Yeah. Wisteria.
A lot of the noxious ones.
Wisteria.
Yeah.
And, grapevine has tendrils. It doesn't particularly
bind. So, interesting fun fact here. You can have twining vines that they will go either left, they're left-handed or right-handed, depending on the plant. So, a left-handed twining vine or bine grows in an anti-clockwise direction.
Yep.
And a right-handed vine grows in a clockwise direction. So the direction of the rotation of the shoot tip does not, as was once thought, follow the sun. Scientists once thought that they followed depending on which way they went.
No.
So it's not where you are in the hemisphere realm of things.
No.
It depends on the vine species. So, for example, the runner bean... always twines clockwise, but the French bean twines anti-clockwise. Oh. So,
well, what if you grow them together? Would they kind of?
What would a hybrid do?
Would it just grow straight up like Jack the Beanstalk?
Dominant gene. That'd be fun. I don't know. I guess it just depends on what. Yeah, it would depend on the dominant gene. Or it may be if you had a hybrid, it could be one or the other.
Oh,
you never know. You're like, it's like having a baby. What are you going to get?
Yeah.
Like, luck of the draw.
Girl. Oh, these days you don't know.
Hard work, not hard work.
Okay. Well, that's really interesting, Karen.
So that was my, that's what you get when I don't have much work, when I have a slow week.
Oh.
Yeah.
But just talking about work as a gardener. Now, these vines, of course, need to grow on some kind of support. And in the natural state, they'll grow up trees and anything else that is sturdy.
Anything.
Yeah, anything.
Literally.
But
some vines need help, though. You need to
if you
help
want
them along
your
with
garden
you.
Kind of a bit less jungly, and you want it ordered, like
Then
the ones who are a bit OCD, mathematical, and like everything in straight lines,
like the French gardens.
Yes, you can create screens, or you can have arches, or you can have trellis.
Yeah.
Or you can have wires.
Or, like me, bits of wood found from the garage, wire found in the garage, rope found on the side of the road.
You can create a pergola.
Anything. They'll twine onto anything.
And so the vines are really good to cover any eyesores, like garages and sheds and things like
buildings in general.
water tanks.
I love
washing lines. Anything that you don't want, like if it's ugly, you can cover it with a vine.
Yeah. Well, why not? I mean, if you don't use your washing line, turn it into a grapevine and hang your grape. I've seen people do that. My neighbour's done that. She never uses her washing line.
Yeah.
And she's just got grapes growing all over.
Great
I don't know
idea.
If she's realised that's even happening.
I just went to hang out my washing and I got
looking after her cat for her. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. The thing you might need to be a bit more careful of is some vines are very vigorous. So if you're growing them near any drain pipes or guttering and things like that, you kind of have to be a bit careful.
I think actually it's the same neighbour. Actually, I've got a property that's got about, I would say, quite a few neighbours off us, so it's hard to know where the plant's coming from sometimes. But poison ivy, my goodness, it's one of those ones that just gets everywhere, and it's really hard. It's got like these little alien-like tentacles that just latch onto things. That's a woody one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's poison. And it's just everywhere, and it latches onto fences, gates, trees. Oh, does it grow on trees? Probably. That's crazy.
One of my favourite ones, we're going to get to our plant of the week, but I just want to pick one of my favourite ones.
What is it?
Sweet pea.
Oh, yes, of course.
Lovely.
It's only
an annual. It is a tendril.
A tendril one?
Yeah, it's a pea, but the sweet pea has lovely flowers.
Oh, it does.
And they can self-seed, and then they'll grow on any kind of trellis or through trees. And, it just creates the wonderful vertical wall of beautiful scent.
Agreed. And it's cool how it self-seeds like that. I've got one that just keeps coming back every year. I don't even do anything.
Yeah.
And it's every spring I'm like, ooh, look at those lovely flowers. Or summer. Spring, summer.
But, Karen, you had our plant of the week, so let's hear what it's going to be.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. He'd spent about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale the flower told.
Plant of the week time, guys. Do you know what it is, Selena?
I can make a good guess.
Do you remember our conversation?
Yes.
I know you've had a busy week.
It starts with P, but it's not sweet pea.
No, and it ends in fruit. It is
pea
passion fruit. Right, I can see that too much. What too much work is doing to you, my dear? Mm-hmm. Right, so passion fruit is a climbing vine that can grow quickly under good conditions. I find that, or either it doesn't grow at all. Like, I really tried so hard to grow passion fruit for years and nothing.
That's my experience.
And then either...
What's a secret, Karen?
I think they're just, you know, they're passionate. They're a passionate plant. It's called a passion fruit. And, you know, I'm a passionate person and I'm either there or I'm not. Okay. You know what I mean? Like...
They need a bit of blood and bone.
I get the passion fruit. I'm going to give you some good tips, though.
Yeah.
They can grow up to 6 metres in 1 year.
Oh, that's taller than my house.
Yep. The passion fruit flower is a striking flower. I'll show you my picture.
Gorgeous. It looks like it's got, like, a fringe.
Yeah, with a prominent central structure. Okay, there. I guess that's the green bit in the middle, and they're what colour are they for? Purple and white.
Yeah.
I didn't see many this year because I've savaged my vine too much, and also it's growing on a fence.
Yeah,
and most of it's growing on the neighbour's side because that's where most of the sun is.
Aww.
And I'm just like, So I went over and snuck some passion fruit when she was at work the other day.
Okay.
It has a tough rind that is smooth and waxy, and it ranges from purple, I've only ever known purple, but you can get orange and yellow passion fruits too. And they can hold up to 200 seeds inside there.
Wow.
Which is quite a lot. So if you want to have a go at growing some passion fruit, according to the Tui Garden website, these are the 5 key steps.
Yeah.
1, plant between mid-spring and mid-summer. So that would be... Actually, I should have said that mid-summer and mid-spring, because spring... Oh, hang on.
Between mid-spring and mid-summer, so about November?
Just before summer.
Okay.
I should have just
October.
Said that. Choose a spot in full sun, except in really hot zones where partial shade is preferable. Of course, prepare your soil with organic matter, compost, sheep pellets, things like that. 4, feed with a fertiliser rich in potassium. Apparently they like potassium.
Oh, maybe that's not what
So
I'm
where
doing.
Do you find
Is that comfrey potassium? Leaves with rich in potash, or is it the
Is potash related to
potassium?
Oh, yep, sweet. Don't know, I can't remember. What? Comfrey's just great for anything, and mulch and water well, particularly over the warmer months. So that's basically... The 5 key steps.
Okay. Right, but mine didn't seem to want to grow at all in the leaves.
Oh, is that the one that I gave you?
We're turning yellow. You gave me 2. I planted them in the sunniest spot near a fence.
You did all that.
And I think I missed out on the potash.
Maybe try that. I've got another seedling that's come up if you want to give it another go. Okay. Oh, hang on, wrong time.
Well, when...
But yeah. I'll keep it in later looking on. After it for you.
Yeah.
And... So here's some tips if you do manage to get one growing. In spring, when the frost has passed, remove the dead growth, reduce shoots by about 1/3 because they can get, they're vigorous growers when they get going.
Yeah.
And prune overcrowded growth and vines that are growing where you don't want them. And this actually really helps them as well.
Okay.
Keep coming back. Poor weather can affect pollination of passion fruit. So plant a variety of flowers to attract pollination insects. I mean, that's just
Do you need more than one?
I think
you
should do that anyway. I think most passion fruits are self-pollinating.
Okay.
Yeah. So no, to answer that question.
Okay.
Self-pollinating, guys, is a another word of for saying in animal terms... What do you call an animal that has both sexes?
Hermaphrodite.
Hermaphrodite.
Okay. So they don't need
That's what
two.
A self-pollinating plant is, isn't it? It's got both parts.
Yeah. Both female and male. Okay.
Yeah. So anything to add to that?
You don't need to add anything to a hermaphrodite plant.
Oh, I was moving away from hermaphrodites. Just passion fruit in general.
Oh,
isn't
yes.
it funny? A hermaphrodite and then they're called a passion fruit.
Well, passion fruit, a bit of a history behind why it's called passion fruit.
Oh, okay. So nothing to do with being a hermaphrodite?
No.
Okay.
The passion is related to the crucifixion.
Oh, really?
Because the flowers of the passion fruit remind people of the cross and the... What Jesus did on the cross, but when you look at the flower,
yeah,
it has, I think it has five, or it has a cross shape. Well, you have a look at it and see if you can.
Really? I'm going to have a look next time. I'm going to have a really good look.
Yes, so somehow it's related to that.
Well, there was that movie, The Passion of the Christ.
Yes, so... Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
it is
interesting.
Mm.
That's all I can say for that one. But the passion fruit is a very lovely fruit, very juicy, and one of my favourites.
There's a few varieties that I never even heard of until this study.
Mm.
Did you know that?
And also...
We often have the Black Beauty, I think, is the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, Black Beauty's the common one. But there are some varieties that can actually be quite weedy in Auckland.
Yes.
So they are banned from propagation.
What are those? Those are called the banana passion fruits, aren't they,
yes.
or something? Yeah.
And I'm not sure if those are very tasty or they're just too prolific.
Mm.
But
well, even if they are, it's probably not worth the hassle. Because they are so, well, I want to say noxious, but they spread like a...
If you can get them going, which I
well,
but then if you have lots of fruit...
It's always the case, isn't it? The ones you want to get going, don't you know? You can get the giant Granadilla passion fruit.
Mm.
Up to 30 centimetres long, that fruit. That's got more red, purple and white flowers. And the fruit is oval and green, so a bit different. But, yummy, apparently. Large.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they grow in the tropics.
Yeah.
That one. It's got that kind of feel. I haven't seen anything like that here.
I've seen people grow passion fruit over water tanks.
Mm-hmm.
And they really love the warmth from growing over them.
Oh, is that right?
So if you have a water tank and you have maybe some sort of wire set up, and they can cling to, then, yeah, they apparently really like it. I don't, myself don't have one, but...
No. Oh, well, my mum's got two massive ones, so I might ask her if she's keen on that.
The question we had asked, one of our listeners asked, because of these uncertain times, what colourful plants can you keep indoors to cheer up the inside space, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to say coleus is a very good colourful foliage plant. Have a look out for that one.
Yeah.
C-O-L-E-U-S.
Okay.
Lovely leaves and got splashes of colour everywhere. So if mm-hmm. you are stuck indoors, then go for that one.
All right.
And try growing a bit of microgreens or sprouts. That's a project that you can do indoors if you're stuck inside. So,
okay. Cool. I will bear that in mind. I'm not self-isolating at the moment, so I'm all good.
Yeah.
Out and about.
But get some fresh air if you can. Or grow some inside. So there you go.
Awesome. Keep well, guys.
Happy gardening, everyone. Thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.
Your language.